I thoroughly enjoyed this episode, and I know you will too. This one is with Athena Brownson. She is a former professional skier turned top producing real estate agent, and she's also a real estate investor. We discuss a lot about her health challenges and a couple of identity crises that she's gone through, some mental health challenges, personal growth, just navigating transitions in life, and a lot about starting a business. One of the biggest takeaways I got from this episode was that the importance of other people, the importance of long-term relationships, you know, in an industry such as real estate where it can feel very transactional, Athena is very much focused on building those long-term relationships and serving others for the long term. And you'll hear later on in the episode how that really came back to help her through some hard times. She's dealt with many, many surgeries, chronic Lyme disease, which has really, really been difficult to overcome and get through both personally and professionally for her. But wait till the end, toward the end of the episode, you're going to hear some of the financial abundance that she's been able to experience. I think she said she did $28 million in real estate transactions last year. I think she said 2 years ago, in 1 month, she was able to make $150,000. So, and this is in a difficult, you know, market right now for real estate agents. And she's also getting into real estate development, which is really cool. I just love her energy and her just positive nature. For someone who's been through quite a bit, health-wise and otherwise, I mean, she really brings a lot of positive energy and is clearly out to make the world a better place and serve others. So I think you're going to get a whole lot out of this one. Listen up.
From Adversity to Abundance, hosted by entrepreneur and seasoned real estate investor Jamie Bateman, is the ultimate guide for active and passive investors seeking clarity, mental fitness, and the confidence to make inspired decisions in the world of real estate. With a decade plus of investing experience across various niches and a background as a combat veteran, former Army officer, and multi-million-dollar mortgage note company owner, Jamie brings a wealth of knowledge and inspiring stories to each episode. Through weekly episodes featuring insightful interviews with industry leaders and solo explorations of mindset and strategy, listeners will uncover actionable advice and tips to overcome challenges and build lasting financial success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting, From Adversity to Abundance is your roadmap to turning obstacles into opportunities and achieving financial freedom.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Bateman, and today we're joined by Athena Brownson. Athena, how are you doing?
Oh, it couldn't be better. It's a beautiful day in Denver, Colorado, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you said it's 100 degrees there, but at least the air, you don't have the humidity that we have here in Maryland.
You know, grateful for our no humidity, maybe not the dry climate aspect, but it has been one hot summer, I will tell you that. And I have a tendency to go show multiple houses wearing all black because I still don't learn. So what can you do?
Maybe one day.
Exactly.
Yeah. So for the listener who may not be familiar with you, talk about your business and what you're up to today. And then after that, we'll jump into your backstory.
Great. Sounds good. So today I have been in the real estate industry as an active realtor for 11 years now. Not sure how that happened. I don't know where the lot exactly. I blinked and it's gone. But honestly, I've built the most special business that I could ever imagine. I enjoy more than anything being able to form lifelong relationships with all of my clients and really be able to help them create financial wellness long term and look way past the closing table. So I run a small team here in Denver. We serve, you know, the greater Denver metro area all the way down to Colorado Springs and then up to my hometown, Breckenridge, Colorado, where it all started.
Nice.
So that's awesome. Where it is.
Do you work with kind of retail buyers or as well as investors or how does that work?
Yeah, so I primarily work with retail buyers. I have a handful of investors that primarily were doing off-market opportunities. And then I recently followed in my father's footsteps and began developing residences as well. So
Nice.
high-end luxury homes. And it's probably my most exciting part of my life right now. It's something that I fell in love with very quickly.
That's really cool. And we'll talk in a little bit later in more detail about exactly what you're up to and how your business works and how you've built your business. But for now, let's
Absolutely.
jump back. I know you've had a good amount of adversity that you've overcome. I know everyone deals with different types of adversity. We're all thrown curveballs with life, and I know we're going to be able to pull out principles and lessons from your story that we can apply for our stories either now or in the future. But jump back. You were a professional skier. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, that's not a sentence you hear very often,
No.
huh? So yes, like I said, I grew up in Breckenridge, Colorado. For those of you who have heard of Breckenridge, it's a great little mountain resort in Colorado and very small community. My father was a real estate developer and a professional skier. So as much as you grow up thinking you're not going to be like your parents, I'm a pretty spitting image of what my parents have done, and I couldn't be more grateful for that. But it has come, up until today with its fair share of challenges. And I think the thing that has become most apparent to me has been when we look back at our lives, you never look at the easy, comfortable moments and think about how much you grew as a human. You look at the times that were the most trying, the most challenging, and overcoming adversity, because that's who really fo what forms you into the person that you are.
For
So
sure.
going to my professional skiing career, obviously that was a dream come true, but it was also it was a job. I mean, I was taught from a very young age the principles of showing up and resilience and grit and really just accountability and discipline. I had some of the most elite level coaches in the world, and if I was not 2 minutes early, then I was late, and I was most likely going to be doing burpees before every run that I did. So I like to say it really was the best business school I could ever ask for, and it allowed me the opportunity to travel the world for about 11 years. I skied 300 days a year, unless I was, I was probably rehabbing an injury if I wasn't on snow. And I got this mindset from a very young age that, okay, say I blew 9 ACLs, for example, broke my neck twice, the list goes on. But these were all things that if you did A, B, C, and D, you were going to get better. And if you did them diligently and stuck to the basics, really, because I think we all over try to overcomplicate solutions to our issues, that I
That's a
would
good
get
point.
better. And eventually it did come to a point where my doctor looked at me and he said, "Athena, you're going to need 2 knee replacements before you're 30 years old. It might be time to hang up the boots, so to speak." So as much as it pained me to do so, it was a really good opportunity for reinvention. And I think that's what adversity does,
For
it
sure.
creates opportunities in our lives to assess what we're doing, what we enjoy and what we're struggling with, and then adapt and more metamorphosize ourselves into the next phase of life.
Sure. Love
Did I think that would be real estate? No, but we'll
that.
get to that.
Well, we don't always know what the next chapter is going to look like, right?
Exactly.
And I do completely agree that, I mean, sports were a huge part of my background as well. And just whether it's team sports or individual, I just think sports have a really unique way of teaching lessons and really kind of preparing for business or life in general. Just it really does require so much discipline, hard work. If you want to be good, you've got to be consistently showing up, putting in the work. There's so much work behind the scenes that people don't see, when they turn on the TV and see a professional athlete, you know,
And that parallels with real estate really
for
well,
sure.
and all
That's true.
aspects of real estate, because there are so many complexities, and you really do have to be a self-driven, motivated individual that
Yeah.
holds yourself accountable if you want to be
Absolutely.
successful. And when the market is more challenging, it becomes a lot more difficult to actually show up that way.
Oh, for sure. So, and I know you've dealt with, I know like the with the injuries, you obviously have dealt with a lot of physical pain and then just the mental pain of rebuilding every time and just starting from scratch, essentially. I mean, it's such a, I mean, all your probably your competitors are out there, you know, doing what they're, you know, and getting better, and now you're injured. I mean, there's a lot mentally to deal with there. Talk about though, when you had your career-ending injury. I had a guest on the show who was a professional baseball player for a brief period of time, actually for the Colorado Rockies, now that I'm thinking about
Oh,
it.
no way.
Yeah,
Let's
and
see.
Josh Kalinowski. But he was a pitcher, and he, I mean, I think the big the takeaway from his episode was it was all about his identity, and you know, he was so wrapped
Yes.
up in his identity was wrapped up in his professional sports, which is completely understandable. I mean,
100%.
I was a collegiate lacrosse player, and that's who I was. You know, that's like that was really who I was. I mean, yeah, I had wore other hats, of course, but and once that ended, it was like who am I now? And that's a big deal. I mean, that's a huge deal. So, talk to us before we move on to how you transitioned into real estate about the kind of probably you know what you were going through mentally with regard to your identity. When your doctor essentially told you your career's over.
Absolutely. And that also foreshadows, I think I've had two major identity crises in my life so far. The second of which being, battling some really severe chronic health issues that I'm still dealing with. But just like you said, I mean, my entire identity was wrapped into what I was doing. It was the accomplishments, the accolades, it was how hard I was working, how I was performing. That was how I was really getting fulfillment, and it was all from external sources. And not to say that, it wasn't an amazing experience. Skiing was absolutely pivotal in creating who I am today. But I also think that, as much as I would hate to admit it at the time, that retiring was also one of the most pivotal experiences in helping me to really find an identity within myself that didn't rely on something external. And that's a really difficult, especially for a young adult, that's a really difficult transformation. And
For sure.
it took me years. I decided to finish college, and I definitely felt like I was floundering. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do in
Yeah,
life
I can
at the
relate to
time.
that.
Like, I had a very, my family was in real estate, but I had this view of real estate as, corny car salesman, like a very transactional, something that was not a personal experience. And there was more real estate offices in Breckenridge than there were t-shirt shops. So I just thought of it as a dime a dozen. So
Sure,
real
I see.
estate never crossed my mind, but I knew that I loved design, I loved homes, and I needed to be in that space in some capacity. And that was my first attempt at grabbing for what was next in my life. And it took many iterations, but I went into the world of interior design, and I quickly realized, and I think anyone in athletics or anyone that's been extremely passionate about one thing for most of their life understands that you most likely need to be an entrepreneur. You need to be in charge of your own success. So when I was going and just clocking in 9 to 5, working for someone else, there was a very short ceiling on how high I could take this. And I realized very quickly that, especially being a one person sport and an only child, like, I like to do things to a detriment sometimes, the way that I like to do things, that I
You
wanted
like to
my
rely on
input.
yourself. Yeah.
Exactly. I wanted
Sure.
my input to show with my output.
Sure.
So I was lost in trying to understand what my place was because I always envisioned myself as an athlete. I had plans of going to the Olympics the next year. It really challenged my mental state. And it was something that now looking back was probably one of the most formative times in my life because it really forced me to just uncover the layers and figure out who the heck Athena was. Now, yeah,
That's
that's a
really good.
lifelong journey,
For sure,
but
you're not done with that. But I like the fact that you pointed out a couple of different times that this took years, this process, at least back then. I mean, because it would be easy for us to just gloss over that point and say, well, maybe you quit skiing on Friday and then on Monday you went into real estate and you found your second passion. It's like, well, no. I mean, you iterated and reiterated, like you said, and then probably had some starts and fails and starts and stops and multiple turns along the way. But talk to the listener who may be in a transition period like that. Maybe they're stuck in a job, or maybe they something health-wise just happened where they've got to kind of reinvent themselves. I personally, I think it really is, it takes some stress off to know that it can take years to go through that transition. You don't
Big
have to
time.
necessarily figure it out this week, right? So, and also that life can have seasons. You don't have to have the answer for the rest of your life today. But talk to the listener that may be going through maybe a professional and identity transition right now. What are one or two things they, that they might be able to employ to navigate that?
I think, like you said, these are not instant gratification, and we live in a culture right now that it just is moving faster and faster. So when something goes wrong in life, or when there is a transition that's happening, we have this expectation that we're supposed to have it all figured out. The reality is, A, no one ever has it all figured out,
That's very true. Very
but
true.
you're never going to find out what your next chapter looks like until you begin trying things and falling on your face and then getting back up and then trying something else. And I think when you're in a place of difficulty, if you're experiencing challenges and adversity, it's really easy to become stagnant. And it's hard not to get into a cycle of, almost depression and just feeling
Feeling
lost.
stuck
And
and lost.
like, what is my why? You lose sight of that while at the same time having this idea that you have to have a plan and that it's a 20-year plan that's going to go right as you think it will, even if like we think on such a big scale. So one of the things that helped me so much was looking at the people in my life that inspired me personally. So old
Like that.
ski coaches, mentors, even people my age that were succeeding at whatever it was that they were doing. And I tried to connect like authentically with as many people as I could that were passionate about what they were doing and that were really good at what they were doing. They were perfecting their craft because I wanted that energy and I wanted that understanding of their mindset. And that didn't mean that it was the career that I wanted to do necessarily, but that was how I ended up in real estate. I sat down with a friend who I admired greatly, who had built a pretty successful real estate business at a young age. I mean, we were 26 at the time, and she was selling, almost 30 million a year at 26. And the discipline and the heart and care and you could tell that was her why. And I sat down, I asked her out for lunch. I said, "Hey, I'd love to just pick your brain. I'm just looking to connect deeper with like-minded individuals." And really, when you're sitting, iron sharpens iron. When you're sitting down with people that are putting you on that energetic frequency that is way higher than whatever you're at currently because you're feeling lost and confused, then It elevates you. So that's my first thing is
Yeah, that's really good.
find people in your life, whether it's coaches, mentors, therapists, friends, people you don't know. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've reached out just on LinkedIn and said, I really admire what you're doing. I'd love to sit down and pick your brain. And people are so thrilled to be able to share the knowledge that they've built. And that's what ended me up in this chair talking to you today. So
That's
the
awesome.
ripple effects. One more thing, my business coach always says to me, he says, Athena, you never know the day that you're gonna wake up and meet the person or encounter the situation that changes the rest of your life. Whether that's in business, whether that's love, whether that's meeting the client that changes everything for you. And I think when you're lost in trying to find your next chapter, or maybe you're just going through difficulty, it's really difficult to wake up every day feeling enthusiastic.
And
And if we have that mindset of what if today is the day that I meet someone who's going to change my life, boom.
Wow, that
It
is huge.
changes things.
Fairly recently, I was listening to a podcast about manifestation and whether, you know, there's the debate. I think it was with Mark Manson. But anyway, he was talking about whether or not, you know, they were talking about kind of the power of manifestation and whether how real is it and that kind of thing. And we don't have time to debate that now. But the debate really was whether you know, if you're envisioning things and speaking things into the universe, does that create those opportunities and those things, or is it more that they were already there and now you're open to seeing them? And I think that's kind of what you're getting at is, I mean, if you look back at your life, and there probably were several key moments and interactions with people that really changed the trajectory of your life, but if you weren't open to seeing that at that time, at that on that day, then it never would have happened, right?
And
So that's
it's
a great
funny you
point.
say that too, because when I look at my most successful days skiing, it was my coaches taught me very, very a disciplined visualization practice within. So when I was at the top of the run for X Games, so say, I would sit in a quiet space and visualize myself landing every trick perfectly on the course. And if I needed to try a trick that I had not ever tried before on snow, I knew that if I could land it in my head, if I could see myself landing it perfectly, that I could land it on snow. So I've really tried to take that exercise into everything else I'm doing in life, because our brains don't know the difference between what's actually happening and what we're imagining. So if you're visualizing yourself creating long-term financial wealth through real estate, or visualizing, I do it before I go into a listing presentation, just imagining this is how the outcome is going to be, you're convincing your brain that that's what's possible.
I
So
did.
visualization's huge.
Oh, for sure. I agree. And I did use that in college lacrosse myself as well. I mean, I really was amazed at the times where I would like maybe score a goal and realize like that's exactly how I envisioned that happening beforehand. That is wild. Like,
Isn't that neat?
and I'm not sure that would have happened if I hadn't envisioned it like that. But so talk more about kind of your transition into real estate and creating a business. I mean, you run your own business, you run a team. How did those next maybe 5 or 10 years go after leaving skiing?
Absolutely. So, like I said, I sat down with a girlfriend, picked her brain. She said, "Hey, I really think that you should talk to the owner of my company. He will tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly of real estate." But really, what happened was I sat down to lunch with him, I think 2 days later, and he is one of those humans that just radiates goodness. And within an hour of having lunch with John Stegner is his name. He runs a amazing company here in Denver. He taught me the principles of a relationship-based business, and he completely transformed what I thought about real estate and about realtors. And he really instilled in me that real estate was an opportunity to serve people, and it was the opportunity to provide value during one of the most stressful or the biggest transactions that someone has in their lifetime. And the relationship shouldn't end at the closing table. So after this lunch, I quite literally was 100% set on real estate. I went home, I signed up for real estate school, I quit my job the next day. I
Wow.
was about getting ready to have my last knee surgery, and I said, "Look, I'll just while I have 3 weeks of downtime, that I can't walk on my leg, I'm gonna crank out real estate school."
I love
So
that.
when I began, I think people oftentimes struggle in getting their feet under them in real estate because you go to school and you don't really actually learn much that
No.
is how to run a business
Not
or
at all.
practical. And what I approached my mentor, John, who had taken me out to lunch, and I said, "What would it take for me to be able to follow everything that you do for as long as I can, because I want to see every, showing that you're doing and how you're interacting with your client. I want to hear all your investor phone calls. I want to watch you do market analysis. I want to meet with appraisers with you." And I think this art of apprenticeship is something that is kind of gotten lost.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you can find, in any arena of life, someone that you admire what they're doing and that whose values align with your own, follow everything that they do. See how you can make their life easier so that you can be in that in their
In their world.
environment
Yeah.
and just soaking it all up.
Sure.
So I had this incredible opportunity to really learn from someone that I admired greatly and
That's
continue
awesome.
to. And I think mentorship and coaching and the importance of those two things,
Yeah.
for me, probably with you as well, we
Yeah, for
understand
sure.
the importance of coaching. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah. For sure.
it's pivotal.
Yeah.
And that's what, unfortunately, right when I got my feet under me in real estate, it takes a couple of years, but I had finally felt like I hit my stride. And I was working with a great coach that helped me really strip down what are my personal strengths and how can I systemize my strengths into actionable activities that I'm doing consistently every week and then track that. So really, I had this coach that said, "Hey, there's a lot of shiny objects in this world of real estate.
Yeah, that's for
There's
sure.
always something new to try. Let's strip it down to the basics. Who are you as a person? Let's look at your DISC profile. Let's look at
Yeah.
multiple personality tests and not multiple personality, but
Yeah, right. I understand that part.
and let like let's really break down what it is that you're good at." And that was building relationships. And
Okay.
how can I then implement that into my business? So it's
Yeah.
how many times a week was I sitting down face to face with people to build relationship? How many phone
Yeah.
calls a day was I making? Open houses, videos, the list goes on. So I was tracking all
You're
of
actually
this.
tracking that. Okay.
And
Yeah.
I noticed that my business started to not have these huge ebbs and flows in it, which was it is a challenge in real estate,
Oh, for sure. So
obviously.
my father was a real estate, still is a real estate agent, has been for many decades. And just growing up, yeah, we had a lot of very fruitful times and a lot of really dry times where we didn't have much, he didn't have much income. I mean, a lot of it is he was always a hustler, but a lot of it is outside of your control. It's market conditions and things like that. So your typical real estate agent really deals with those ups and downs quite a bit. I mean, it's almost all commission based or is 100% commission based in many cases. And then you don't have that even, income stream at all. So, I mean, but it sounds like, but the other point I wanted to make is just you're kind of already saying it, but there are so many agents out there. I mean, you said it's like they're a dime a dozen, right? So how do you separate yourself? Well, the fact that you're creating these long-term relationships, it's not just a transaction. Already you're, I would say, in the top 10% of agents because you're creating relationships and it's not just a transaction. So, and just, putting others first. I love that. So, I mean, constantly in this episode, we've heard you talk about people and and just learning from others and engaging with others and helping others, serving others, and that, so it's clearly not all about you, and that's been obviously a large part of your own success. So and what did your mentor say when you said, what would it take for me to essentially shadow you? What was his response?
I don't think anyone had ever said that to him, and the joy that he had from hearing that I was that interested in learning. I mean, he welcomed me with open arms, and I truly attribute my success to being able to listen to every phone call he made, being able to follow him on showings and do open houses with him. He was so excited to be able to share everything that he had learned from his, almost 30-year career at that point. And
That's
I
awesome.
find that's the case with if you just ask, people do want to help, which is incredible. And it's a gift that you can then turn around and give a younger agent as well, or an agent that's struggling. You know, we all have, there's, like I said, so many ways to approach real estate. You have to figure out what's authentic to you, because honestly, those authentic relationships that we've discussed are what have propelled me through some of the most challenging years of my life. So I was diagnosed with Lyme disease, 3 years into my real estate career. So 8 years ago. And at this point in my life, I had just hit my stride in real estate. I was starting to really do well. My physical health, I thought, was, I was still training like an athlete and keeping myself in great condition. And I started, I went in for a touch up on a neck surgery. And while I was recovering, I started getting all of these very strange ailments, GI infections like E. coli, and just very odd for a young, healthy individual. And it became, it started to become apparent. My fatigue was starting to get really intense. I was getting bad jo joint pain. It was clear that it was not the neck surgery. My neck was feeling great. I was recovering well from that. And I was really fortunate. I went to a doctor who understood Lyme disease, which is pretty rare. And, it was actually my neurosurgeon who had just fixed my neck, and he had Lyme disease himself. He had been battling it, and he said, "I think we should do a test." And I thought he was nuts. I was like, "I've never even seen a tick, let alone like have awareness of being bit by one." But the day I got those results back, I mean, I never understood the gravity of how severe this disease would
Yeah.
be.
It's pretty intense. I've looked into it myself, and quite a bit actually. And there's a lot of debate about, what I mean, I think in
Oh,
general,
yeah.
yeah, we're pretty, I'm in the mid-Atlantic, and I know in the Northeast it's pretty prevalent, and it's come down into the mid-Atlantic a good bit. And certainly in like the spring, you got to be real careful, but yeah, the fact is, like, I think it's very underdiagnosed, and there's not always, clear-cut tests, but the fact that we'll leave that whole medical discussion aside, but okay, so what goes through your mind at that point? Because I know, I mean, Lyme disease, it if you catch it early, it can be not that big of a deal, really.
Exactly.
But if you don't catch it early, it can be a huge debilitating disease. So
I
what was going?
mean, sorry, it completely, it took my life and it turned it upside down, in a very short period of time. And what Lyme does is it attacks whatever your genetic weaknesses are. So for me, it turned, and that's why it's really difficult to diagnose, because it looks very different in a variety of people. But for me, it was basically, it turned into multiple autoimmune diseases. So my body started attacking me. And within about a 6 month period, I was told by multiple doctors that I should go on disability and stay in bed, because that's how severe my health issues were.
And
And
what age were you at this point, if you don't mind me asking?
I was 27. Yeah.
That's
And to this day, I do four plasma transfusions a month. I don't, I'm in some of the most intense treatment imaginable. And it was another, when I was diagnosed and experiencing, pain and fatigue and sickness like I never even knew imaginable. I mean, that was after 21 surgeries. With surgeries, it was if you do A, B, C, and D, you're going to get better. With Lyme, it was,
No clear
let's
path.
try this, let's try this. It was like being a lab rat, but I knew that I felt horrible. But if I stayed home, I was not going to get better because my mental state was going to drowned. And so real estate, as as corny as it may sound, real estate was my saving grace because I had a career that not only did I have control over my schedule, so if I had to, spend time in the hospital, I could. And at this time, I did have a business partner that was able to assist when I was not able to. But more than anything, that the value of my relationships with my clients became something that was so apparent in the way that it was keeping me afloat. I was in a period, a very dark period of a being angry of why did this happen and how did this happen and why do I feel so bad and why can't I wake up in the morning? Why can't I I can barely work out anymore. I can't keep any food down. I mean, I was very angry. And what I noticed was when I was interacting with my clients and when I was doing what I loved, that's when I was not thinking about how bad I felt. And I realized pretty quickly, no, it wasn't quickly, actually. It took years. I lie. I'm like, in hindsight, no, it was not. I went through a lot of and I think that's important. It's important to go
Acknowledge.
through whatever you need to. But you can't get stuck there. I think that's the thing is, your symptoms aren't necessarily going to go away. So, but you can't stay in a place of that anger and despair and sadness because it physically hurts you even more. And it really caused another identity crisis. And it really was, okay, well, who am I when I'm alone, when I'm don't, when I don't have anyone around me because I'm not able to do anything. And the only thing that I'm putting my energy into because I have so little is my career. And it really stripped away the layers once again of figuring out what it was going to take for me to find that resiliency and find that grit and what are the things that I need to be disciplined about in order to get through this. And it came to a point where I realized that real estate really was my why. Being able to help people, throughout chapters of their life and follow these chapters of their life to be able to, develop and flip homes with incredible investors to help young people build a rental portfolio. I look at what helped me get through my first couple of years having Lyme disease because obviously my production went down slightly. I still did pretty well, but I at that point, John, my mentor, had said to me, Athena, live in a house for 2 years as your primary, then turn it into a rental and buy another and do it over and over again. And so by that time, I, was just moving into my third house. So I had two rentals. And, when we look at cap rates in Denver, you're not, we're not looking at a huge cap rate. We are looking at, incredible appreciation for the most part. But I was getting mailbox money every month from these two income producing properties. And that was allowing me to pay for almost all of my mortgage in the house that I was currently in. And when you're
That's
paying
awesome.
for crazy medical bills and you're, that is what just one of the many gifts that real estate can provide. And being able to use that story and show what it had really done for my life to others is something that, It shows
powerful.
the transformative power of real estate.
Right. That's
Really
really
neat.
good. Yeah. And then, we like to look at pro formas and projections based on everything going perfectly. So, I mean, you wouldn't look at it and say, I'm going to get Lyme disease and I'm going to be out. I mean, and then I'm going to need this to get me through, this income to get me through.
Yeah.
But it's almost like you probably appreciate it even more because that is what happened. And
It was a
appreciate,
lifesaver.
yeah. I mean, that is huge. I mean, I know for me, I do mortgage note investing, but I also do rental property investing, and I've been doing rentals since 2010, late 2009, I guess. And
Wow.
it's been critical. It's been a very stable thing that through ups and downs of mortgage note investing or personal challenges in life,
Yeah.
where I've had to dial down my business, or maybe different things have occurred, but that rental income has been consistent. We might have a vacancy here and there, but it's been kind of a bedrock to keep me going. So
And
from an
isn't it
income standpoint,
incredible that
it
that's an
totally is.
opportunity? I mean,
Yeah.
you know, when you have to step back from things in life and you know,
Yeah.
you need to take care of a loved one or your health or
Right.
whatever it is, to be able to have some source of stability within that chaos,
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a huge blessing.
Absolutely. So you still have the two rentals, or
I have three
three
now,
now? Okay, got it.
and then I just finished selling my first development.
That's
So
awesome.
that, you know, and I just started on my second. So that's
Wow.
really where my energy and heart are
Yeah.
currently. And I think that's, you know, something that we continually evolve is
Sure.
what our why is and what we're passionate about and what, you know, what our skill sets are. And we do that by surrounding ourselves once again with the people that are doing the best at their craft.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough to be able to shadow my father and his development for
Yeah.
my entire life. Did I
That's
appreciate
awesome.
it at the
Yeah.
time?
Of
No.
course
Do I appreciate it now? Yes.
not. So, this is kind of a, I guess it's really up to you as far as how much you want to share, but can you name one or two successes, whether that's like a dollar amount that you got from a transaction,
Oh,
or
yeah.
maybe it's like how much real estate you've sold in a year or something like that. Talk about some of the financial abundance that you've been able to experience.
You know, yeah, I always have a hard time giving myself credit for these things, and I think it's just an athlete thing. I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, I look at the last couple of years of my life, and I've probably spent maybe a quarter of my time a year in the hospital.
Wow.
And that means I'm not working when I'm in the hospital, unfortunately. So
Oh, and
when
also, I
I
imagine when you're not in the hospital, it sounds like you're not 100% either. So it's
like
like,
maybe 5%.
yeah. Wow.
And I always say, you know, when I get this into remission and feel better, I'm gonna feel like Wonder Woman. But
Totally.
you know, I look at last year, which was a difficult year in the world of real estate, just
For sure.
as this year is. And I
Yeah.
sold about 28 million in real estate, and that's
Awesome.
again spending a quarter of my time in the hospital.
Wow.
2 years ago, I had a 1 month where I made $150,000. I mean, there's not many professions that you can say
No.
that in. And
No.
it comes with a lot of hard work, but it
For
also
sure.
is just it when it shows that when you're when you put in the work and you're disciplined with your consistency,
Right.
abundance will come. You just have to put the work in.
Yeah,
And
that's really
that means through rain or shine, because it was raining real
good.
hard in my body
Right.
when that happened.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That's, I mean, kudos to you. That's awesome. I
Thank
mean, yeah,
you.
we don't often celebrate it enough, our successes.
We
I think,
don't.
especially as an athlete, it's like, all right, what's next? What's next? What's my next competition? That was cool for 5 minutes, but where's the next trophy? Whatever it is, but I mean, kudos to you. That's really, really awesome,
Thank
especially with
you.
the health challenges you've had. And now it sounds like you're growing into a different, like related, but a different part of real estate,
Yeah.
investing, and that's really cool. So, you ready for some rapid fire questions?
Let's do it.
All right, what's one thing that people misunderstand about you, Athena? That one trips
Honest,
people up sometimes.
yeah, that's a hard one. Honestly, so I have a very intense facial expressions, and oftentimes I hear that I come off extremely scary and intimidating, and I have to be aware of that because I am like the softest teddy bear ever, and I love everyone. So yeah, if you see
Got
me squinting and angry eyebrows, it's probably
it.
just because I can't see.
Got it. If you could go back and give your 18-year-old self some advice, what would that be?
That's another tricky one. I would tell myself that I should not stray from, or basically from my goals and my dreams. Like I wouldn't change a thing about how I focused on skiing. But I would tell myself to think wider. Like skiing is not the end all be all, and there's so much opportunity. So just keep your eyes open.
That's really good. If you could have coffee with any historical figure, whom would you choose?
Salvador
Oh, wow.
Dali.
Haven't had that answer.
I
Why?
bet you haven't. Honestly, so I'm a huge art history nerd. I studied him in depth in college, and just loved the psychoses of his brain, and was fascinated with how he saw the world. So I would 100% sit down with
Okay,
him.
that's awesome. If you were given $10 million tomorrow, what would you do with
I would call my financial advisor.
it? There you go.
I would invest wisely, and I would get on an airplane and go somewhere and relax for at least a month.
Love that. That's really
And
good.
then probably buy a couple rental properties when I got
Nice,
back.
nice. Professionally, what's a challenge that you're facing in your business right now?
You know, the market is challenging right now. We're seeing the days on market increase significantly. Listings are taking, a hit. And I would say just continuing to show up and stay motivated when I'm not feeling great and the market's pretty rough has been challenging. But it's
Sure.
also pushing me to get more creative with how I'm approaching my business. So
Nice.
again, blessing in disguise, but I'm
Great.
pretty ready for things to get a little bit more
Right.
normal.
Yeah, it's a balancing act. I mean, yeah, the challenge is where the growth happens, but sometimes it's like we don't need too much
I've
challenge.
grown enough.
I've
Come
grown enough. I've grown
on.
enough.
As I say, from 5 feet tall. Just
Nice.
kidding.
What's one piece of advice that you'd give to someone starting out in your career?
Find a mentor, find someone whose business that you admire, and ask how you can make their life easier. Follow everything that they do, listen to every conversation, and put yourself on a schedule. Like,
That's
one of
good.
the you have to have a schedule, and
Yeah.
you've got to stick to it and be accountable.
That's really good. Yeah, I know the hours for a real estate agent can be super challenging because you've got to be available when other people are
All
available,
the
right? Which
time,
is when
all
they're not working.
the
So
time.
that's
Yeah.
evenings and weekends. Yeah, all the time, 24/7. How about in your industry, whether it's real estate investing or as an agent, what's something controversial or unconventional that you see?
We're going, so I work with Compass, and we're going through a huge lawsuit right now with Zillow, and just really understanding what's going to be best for the consumer in terms of transparency and being able to view listings, because Zillow is trying to limit the number or the amount of listings that are showing up on Zillow based on if they were pre-marketed or not. And it's really just bringing into the spotlight what is best for the consumer, and it's a hot topic, and it's going to
Sure.
be interesting to see how it plays out.
Got it. What is a book or two that you could recommend for our listener?
Oh, I am so ADHD. I love starting 100 books. Right now, I would say Atomic Habits
Oh,
is
yeah, it's a
one.
great one.
James Clear, just
Clear.
the
Yep,
art,
clear.
clear. The
Yep.
art of being 1% better every day is
Yeah.
something that we could all do. And then someone that you spoke of earlier, The Subtle Art of Not Giving
Oh, yeah.
an F,
Yeah,
is
exactly.
probably, because I care way too much about everything. So that's been a transformational book for sure.
Yeah, that is a really good. Both are great books,
Yeah.
for sure. Back to real estate. we're jumping all over the place, but looking forward, you mentioned the Zillow thing, but looking forward, maybe market-wise, and no one has a crystal ball, but what are some emerging challenges that you think real estate investors should be preparing for?
I think real estate investors should be honestly seizing the opportunities that are available currently, because while interest rates are higher, we do have a lot less buyer demand. And that's me. I mean, I'm finding incredible opportunities for my investors right now, because at the end of the day, people need to sell still. That's not going away. But the second that rates, I don't think anything's going to go down very quickly. I think, we're in this for a while, but when they do go down, it's going to be too late. So if you're, a newer investor, don't shy away because interest rates are higher right now. It's actually a really great opportunity to get into the market.
Yeah, and I would say there's never like the
A right
perfect
time.
time to get in. There's always some reason you should not get in right now. You can always talk yourself out of it, right?
In life, is in everything in life, there's no perfect time. So it's like
Just get started.
if it feels right, go.
That's true. You don't want to force it or jump in without researching and doing knowing what you're doing or finding a
Exactly.
mentor first. But I mean, you can suffer all your entire life with, analysis paralysis. So, what's one question that you wish I'd asked that I have not asked?
That's a great question. One question that I wish you had asked. How is my health today?
Yeah, I did.
There's
It did.
one.
I crossed my mind, but it was how is it? I
That's
mean,
all I could think of. I'm in probably the most difficult treatment protocol imaginable, but I'm starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I've got about 6 weeks left. It's been a year and a half on these antibiotics. And I'm also s about to be able to switch from four plasma transfusions a month to four every 5 weeks. So that's like a huge win for me. Really excited. And I just feel like there's a glimmer of hope for the first time in a very long time. And
That's
I'm
awesome.
super excited about
Are
it.
you now are you working with like functional medicine practitioners? It
I
sounds like it.
yeah I you know I've been really I always say I'm like the luckiest sick person, because I have a variety of sure, some Western medicine. I have to have a nephrologist for plasma transfusions, and but I've got some of the most incredible functional medicine practitioners all over the world that I've
That's
been able
awesome.
to that specialize in infectious disease. So pretty
Got it.
incredible. If anyone is out there that's sick and needs recommendations, please let me know.
No, that's really good. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, we're not happy you're going through this, obviously, but
Make some
well,
good
it's
out of
yeah,
it.
there exactly. And it does sound like you see maybe not the light at the end of the tunnel, but you see some hope for some improvement here in the near term. So that's awesome.
Exactly. Thank you.
So, yeah. Athena Brownson, anything you want to add before we get out of here?
No, Jamie, that was amazing. Thank you so much for letting me share a little bit of my story. I just appreciate all of your very thoughtful questions and insight.
Well, thank you. This has been really good. Thanks for spending your time with us. We appreciate it. And to
Thank
the
you.
listener, thank you for spending your most valuable resource with us, and that is your time. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on From Adversity to Abundance. We hope today's episode has equipped you with valuable insights and practical advice to elevate your real estate journey. For more inspiring stories and resources, visit us at www.adversitytoabundance.com. If this episode has inspired you, please share it with a friend who could also benefit from our conversation. Together, let's turn adversity into abundance. Until next time, keep building your mental fitness and your real estate empire.
Hey there, it's Jamie Bateman. Ever felt boxed in by life's challenges? dive into my new book, From Adversity to Abundance, Inspiring Stories of Mental, Physical, and Financial Transformation, available now on Amazon. From a former bank robber's redemption to a young entrepreneur's victory over hurdles, these stories are not just inspiration. They're the roadmaps to your transformation. Whether for you or as a powerful gift to friends and family, especially those who might not tune into podcasts, this book is a beacon to a life of abundance. Ignite that inner fire and set your course to the life you've imagined. Purchase yours today on Amazon and light the path for someone you love.